Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16 in your Bible. I'm so thankful to be here and excited about the new year. I'm actually excited what God did in 2019, aren't you? And I'm thankful for what He has opened and closed, and I'm thankful for all of you. Safe travels during the Christmas holidays. How many of you traveled during Christmas? Very good. I'm so glad you made it back safe. Safe and sound. And glad you're here. Acts chapter 16. And let's look in verse number 6. All right, let's stop for just a second. I want you to look down at your Bible. But I want to just go over. Last time we were together and talking about Acts, they were venturing out into the second missionary journey of Paul. And they went to Lystra and Derbe, or Derbe and Lystra. And what was interesting was the last time Paul went or was in Lystra and Derbe, they stoned him. He's got a backbone, doesn't he? I mean, he's going back to this place where they stoned him. Why was that? Because there were some people that needed to be discipled. There were some people that needed to be saved. But when he went, he met Timotheus. And what a great journey that was. I believe it was prosperous as Paul was able to disciple and to help Timothy. And then we see that he is continuing in his journey. Now, he's with Silas now in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Look at verse 7. When they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, or permitted them not. Verse 8. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. If we look collectively at Paul's life up until now, I think we could agree that Paul's life was a life of open doors. Would you agree with me? That God had opened many things up to Paul, and Paul was able to preach the gospel to many people and see many people saved. How many of you would agree with me about that? And we understand that Paul has a great ministry that God gave him. The greatness of his ministry had nothing to do with Paul, but God. And God was working through the word of God that Paul was preaching. I'm thankful for the missionary journeys, for the missionary that Paul was, and that he allowed God to use him. But now we come to Paul's life where there's a closed door. Not just one closed door, but two closed doors. And I wonder how many of us have been there. Well, we've experienced that sound. We've experienced that moment when God closed a door in our life. And God closes multiple doors in Paul's life. I want to talk about that this morning, and I want to give you some principles of closed doors this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I want you to speak. I pray that you speak through your word this morning. Lord, all I want to do is speak the word of God, what you want me to say, but speak and use your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First of all, I want to talk about this thought, the ownership of the door, the ownership. In 2019, let's think back for just a second. We're still in 2019. We're almost done. We only have a couple more days left, and we'll be done with 2019. And a lot of you are thinking taxes. I understand that, because you got to get those together, and you got to find all the paperwork, and we've been, I got to find all the receipts. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? And then you got to get all that done, and you're thinking about the future. But for a moment, let's take a look back in 2019 and think about the doors that God has opened for you. What kind of doors, I want you to think about, what kind of doors did God open for you in 2019? What were those doors like? You knew exactly what God was telling you. You knew exactly that that was the direction God was carrying you. What doors were open? Now, I want to ask you this. Did God close any doors in 2019? Did God close any doors in 2019? And what did that bring you? What happened when he closed the doors? What were your thoughts? What were you going through? How did that affect you in your life when God closes doors in your life? We are looking, first of all, this principle that God owns the doors. Think with me about Paul and Silas being forbidden in verse number 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, what were they doing there? They weren't just going on vacation. What were they doing there? Were they doing something great? Absolutely. They were preaching the word of God. They were doing everything that us, that we as a church, we as a child of God, they were doing everything that we should be doing here in Asheville, North Carolina, preaching God's word. And they were busy and faithful. They were looking for every opportunity they could find. They were a preacher of the gospel. Now, when you find a preacher of the gospel, you're going to find someone that is looking diligently and aggressively to preach the word. I'm questioning you this morning and challenging you with this thought. Are you that person? Are you a proclaimer of the gospel? Are you looking for every opportunity that God has for you to give the gospel out? And don't you know, Paul and Silas, as they were journeying, they were looking for every opportunity. Oh, look, there's a city over there. Hey, we haven't been to this town yet. Now, there's no good gospel church in this town. Can you imagine their situation? Everything was open. Every town was open to start a church. Think about that. Brother Mel, think about that. Well, they didn't have to think about, well, I wonder who's pastoring in this church, and are we going to step on their toes? Or no, everything was open. They could have gone anywhere they wanted to go, except they submitted to God and his will. They said, I'm not going to go where I want to go. Lord, these are your doors. You open these doors for me. It says that they were forbidden of the who? Holy Ghost. Not the what, the who. The Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? Speak to me now. Let's wake up. Speak to me. Who is the Holy Ghost? God. The Holy Ghost is God in us. Now think about that. God was directing their path. And God told them no. I believe the word no is a gift. Think about that for a second. How many of our children nowadays need to hear the word no more often? How many parents nowadays need to give the gift of no and back that up a little bit more often? And God knows that as his children, he'll look down and he'll say, this is not my will. The answer is no. The answer is no. I'm closing this door. The Holy Spirit forbidden them to preach the word in Asia. Now, if you study out where they were going, in fact, there were some pretty prominent churches that were started in this area that they were forbidden to go to later on. Some pretty prominent churches were going to be started there, but God wasn't ready for that yet. It was not part of his plan yet. And all it came down to was this. Paul had to recognize who owned his path. Who owned the path? Was it me that owned this path, or was it God that owns this path? Is God the owner of the doors in your life? Ask yourself that. Is God the owner of the doors in my life? Think about that for a second. Seniors in high school about to look for a place to go to college. Juniors in high school. Those that are in college, about to graduate and go out. God's opening and closing doors in your life. Are they God's doors? The answer is yes, they are God's doors. The question is actually, do you recognize God as the owner of those doors in your life? Do you recognize God as the owner of those doors in your life? And we may think these are our doors, and it's my life. And God has the key. These are my doors, and God has the key. And God's the key to these doors. No, the thought is this. God owns the doors, and God owns the keys. God is the door owner, and God is the key holder. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by who? The Lord. And he delighteth in his way. I remember hearing the story from Walter Knight, told of an old Scottish woman who went from home to home across the countryside selling threads, buttons, and shoestrings. When she came to an unmarked crossroads, she would toss a stick into the air and go into the direction the stick pointed when it landed. Sounds foolish, doesn't it? One day, however, she was seen tossing the stick several times up in the air to come down land. Someone came by and said, why do you keep on tossing that stick in the air? She explained the situation and said, because it keeps pointing to the left and I want to take the road to the right. She then dutifully kept throwing that stick in the air until it pointed to the right. And sometimes that's how we approach God. God wants us to go this way, and we know God's directing us this way, but Lord, I want to know what's behind that closed door. I want you to open that door for me, Lord. And God says, no, I got this door open. I've closed that for a purpose. That's my door. That's my closed door. This is my open door. Now, they both belong to God. But God's directing you at a certain door, a certain path. God owns your direction. Will you concede to that? Paul submitted himself to God's will. Can we come to the understanding, the first understanding, the first principle? God owns the doors. Can we come to that? If we can just come to that foundational truth that God owns the doors in our life, then boy, that would take a lot of pressure off us, wouldn't it? It really would. It really would. Number two, we see that God owns the doors in verse 6, and we're forbidden by the Holy Ghost, that's God, in verse 7, and the Spirit suffered them not, or permitted them not, that's the Holy Spirit. God directed them. God owned the doors. God shut the doors that he owned. But we also see the obedience. We see the obedience. Not just ownership, we see the obedience. You say, what happened here? Now, can you recognize also that Paul, a preacher of the gospel, was looking at these doors and he said, everything's been open to him. Now, this is one of the first times we ever see closed doors in Paul's life. And this was maybe foreign to Paul. The only other closed door that I see in Paul's life was on the road to Damascus when he was going to do some things that were not God's will. In fact, that went against God, and he was persecuting Christians, and God stopped him, threw him off his horse, and blinded him, and arrested his attention, and saved him. What a closed door. Aren't you glad for that closed door in your life? Aren't you glad for the open door of salvation in your life? Think back to that open door for a minute. The moment that you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and the situation surrounding that moment, what happened? What doors did God close and what doors did God open to bring you to Him? To bring you to a position where He was going to give you the gospel and you had to come to a decision where you either say, I reject Jesus or I accept Jesus. And if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then you made a decision to walk through the open door that God gave you. And now, as a Christian, we walk the Christian life as God opens doors and opens doors and opens doors, and God closes doors. Now, just because the door is closed, watch this, just because the door is closed doesn't mean that we have to obey God. God directs our path, but God gives you the choice. How many of you remember the story of Jonah? Jonah chapter number one, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And that's something. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, if you were Jonah, would you think, there's an open door? How many of you believe that? Okay, it's pretty clear. God opens a door. Did Jonah go through that door? It took a while. But Jonah ran from God. Jonah's first act was disobedience to God. Why is that? Why is that? Because here it is. There's a battle between flesh and the spirit. We want it our way, God, not your way. I want it my way, God, not your way. I just don't see in my flesh how we can possibly do that, how we can possibly get here or do that. But if God opens the door, He's going to make a way. The story is told about the father of a vacationing family who came across a large sign. The large sign read this, road closed, do not enter. Road closed, do not enter. Well, the father looked at the sign and said, I'm going to go through anyway. He started driving past the sign and went on winding down, and a couple miles, he started bragging about his decision as his wife began to tell him, you better be careful. And usually, how many of you know, fellas, your wives are usually right about things like this? So I had some wives raise their hand, that's fine. And he began to drive and brag about what was going on and how he made the right decision. I know that sign said what it said, but now I've made the right decision to go through that sign and everything's going to be okay, until he came up to a washed out bridge. There was nowhere to go. There was no turnoffs, no way around it. I had to go all the way back 5 more miles, turn around, and come back to the main road. Now, it was a different conversation on the way back. In fact, it was quiet. Until they got to the sign that said, "Do not enter, turn around." On the back of it, it said something completely different. It said, "Welcome back, stupid." It's happened more than once. And let me tell you, it's happened to Christians more than once. You say, what do I do if God shut a door and I've been disobedient to God? What do? You go back to where you were when you were obedient to him. Get back on the right track. Get back on the right track. Jonah, he went through a tough time, didn't he? He had a great fish come back and say, "Welcome back, stupid." Thrown up by a fish. I don't even like, I mean, how many are fishermen? Yeah. It's not the greatest thing or the cleanest thing to touch the outside of a fish. I can't imagine living 3 days on the inside of a fish. That's where Jonah went. That's what Jonah experienced, because he says, "I'm going to go my own way. I know God owns those doors. I know God opened those doors and closed this door and closed this door and opened this door to Nineveh. I know God wants me to go through that door, but I'm going to be disobedient." And many times we get disobedient with God. We know we're disobedient on the inside, but we want to look obedient on the outside. And we want to justify our direction on the outside. I'm sure the men on that ship needed the Lord. You ever think about that? Jonah fled from Nineveh to get away from God's will, and he went on a ship and never witnessed, never preached the gospel on that ship. Those men could have been lost and on their way to hell. Not once did he preach the gospel. And what it says is that he fled from the presence of God. And when we go through the wrong doors, or we try to go through doors that are not open, or we disobey God and the doors that God has opened, we are getting out of the presence of God. We are getting away from God. And you see in Jonah, it says the word of the Lord came to him, right? Let me saw that. The word of the Lord came to him. Now, in Acts, what does it say? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. I want you to get this truth. Are you ready? Are you listening? The Holy Spirit never contradicts the word of God. You understand that? The Holy Spirit will never contradict the word of God. You say, "Pastor Creed, I'm kind of in a pickle. I know God wants me to do this, but the Word of God says this." If you believe that God wants you to do something contrary to the Word of God, you might want to check your diet, because you ate something wrong or something. Because the Holy Spirit and the Bible work together. You understand that? They work together. When you disobey the Word of God, you disobey the Holy Spirit. You disobey God. When you disobey the Holy Spirit, you disobey the Word of God. You disobey God. But when God closes those doors and opens the door and you obey the Word of God, you obey the Holy Ghost, and you're in obedience to God, and you're living in the presence and in His will. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. In Psalms chapter 119, 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God?" The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the what?" Amen. Now, you say, "Well, Pastor Creed, I just don't know. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know if God wants me to do that. That just may seem too big. That may seem impossible." How about a baby being born of a virgin? Huh? How about a man dying on the cross for you and now lives? Was risen from the grave. That's impossible. Pastor Greg, I just don't know. Now watch. It is okay for you to have questions for God. You with me? It is okay for you to have questions for God. It is not okay for you to have a questioning spirit. Now, here's the difference. Are you ready for this? A question for God, you're wanting to grow. A questioning spirit, you're just wanting to growl. You with me? You understand the difference? Paul did not question God. Paul did not have a questioning spirit. Paul had a faithfulness. Paul had an obedient spirit. He said, "If you're going to shut that door, I'm going to keep going somewhere. You're going to shut that door, I'm going to keep going somewhere." He kept on moving. And then finally, God brought him to Troas and sat him down and gave him a vision. Thirdly, opportunity. Ownership, obedience leads to opportunity. You ever imagine and think, what if Paul tried to force his way through a door that was closed? What a great passage of Scripture this is. I believe every passage of Scripture is great, amen? But I enjoy this passage of Scripture. A lot of people call this the Macedonian call. Look at verse number 9. "And a vision appeared to Paul." Wow. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. Who gave Paul that vision? God. Now watch this. The same God that shut the door to Asia, the same God that shut the door to Bithynia, is the same God who gave Paul the Macedonian vision, the Macedonian call. And the same God, listen to this, the same God that is shutting the doors in your life is the same God that's going to give you an opportunity. That's going to open the next door. Isn't that wonderful? See, we look at a closed door in our life and we say, "Oh no, there's a closed door." And we start acting like a victim, or we start getting out. Here's two thoughts for you today about closed doors and how you feel with closed doors. You can either have anxiety. "Oh, I don't know. This door's closed, and I don't know if there's ever going to be another open door for me." Or discouragement. That's another enemy. You ever felt this? "God shut this door because he didn't think I could do it." Anybody ever felt like that? "God shut this door because I'm inadequate." "God shut this door because I'm not worthy." You ever felt that discouragement before? You ever felt that low before? "God, why'd you shut that door on me? What's wrong with me? What's the matter with me? I wanted to go through that door. I thought this is what you wanted for my life." And we start getting discouraged and leading to depression. Because God has an opportunity for us, but he had to shut a door to get us that opportunity. not discouraged. In fact, when you look at a closed door, you ought to praise God. Sometimes those closed doors are God's way of protecting you. Those closed doors are God's way of providing for you. Those closed doors are God's way of taking care of you. As you look down your life, you can look at the closed doors that God put in your life and see how God directed you and protected you and provided for you and through His mercy and grace took care of you. I'm humbled to be here and know that God has directed my path to this very point. I'm so thankful to be your pastor. I'm so thankful God's directed you here. I believe God has opened doors for you right here in this church, and I'm thankful for you being here. Have you ever thought of the story of Joseph? You ever thought about that? Let's go through that for just a second. A young man, his father loves him very much, has all these older brothers. Now, those of you that have older brothers or ever been on a basketball team or a football team or been on a team and been the youngest or the newest person in a job, you understand all the dynamics that can go in this in these relationships. But Joseph comes with dreams, and the brothers didn't like the dreams. Why? Because the brothers end up bowing down to Joseph in these dreams. I mean, as an older brother, would never like your younger brother to come tell you that kind of dream. Sounds like a funny dream. Get out of here, squirt. But his brothers didn't like him. He was the spoiled one. He had the coat of many colors that his father gave to him. His father favored him above those others, above them. And so one day the brothers planned to take him out and to get rid of him. Now, as you're going to see your brothers and see the ones you love, your brothers, these are your flesh and blood, people that you really love and enjoy and enjoy spending time with, and you go into their presence, and all of a sudden they grab you and say, "Hey, let's go on a trip." And all of them are working together against you. You feel like the closest people to you have stabbed you in the back. They tossed him into a pit. And he spent time in the pit. Now think about that. What was going through Joseph's mind in that pit? Never should have told him that dream. God, where are you, God? You gave me this dream. You've taken care of me, God. Up until now, you gave me a great father, a great family. What is going on? And then all of a sudden, he hears a commotion. And he's taken out of the pit and sold into slavery. God shuts the door and opens the door. Goes into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife throws herself at him, and he denies and she lies, and he ends up in prison. Can you imagine him in prison again? God keeps shutting doors and opening a door, and shutting doors and opening a door, shutting doors and opening a door. And then he ends up in the palace, second in command, and God used him in a great way, and his dream comes true, where his brothers come, and they're bowing down before him. And as he looks back on his life and he sees all those closed doors and how God directed his path, don't you think he said, "Praise God. Praise God." God might close a door, a major door in your life in 2020. God might close a major door in your life this week. What are you going to say? What are you going to do? Look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that, what? Who? The Lord had called us. Just because there's a closed door does not mean you're out of God's will. It just means God's directing your path. Where is God directing you? What is God directing you to do? Sometimes that's made evident with closed doors. Let's pray.